Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Please consider supporting Black Women United, YEG, for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United, YEG, for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
This is Dmitry Samarov from Chicago, Illinois, and I love listening to Vish Khanna's Creative Control because whether he's talking to a favorite musician or actor of mine or someone I've never heard of, it's as if he's introducing me to a new friend. And the way things are going, couldn't you use a new friend? Listen now.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Harrison Robinson is a gifted musician and composer based in Toronto, Ontario. Since the 2016 release of his wonderful debut album, Checkpoint Titanium, Robinson, who works under the name Harrison, has established himself as a dynamic and curious musician, teaching himself how to create music on his own with piano and keyboards as the principal foundation for breezy songs that touch upon soul, R&B, pop, hip-hop, and other synthesized and organic tones. His lovely third album is called Birds, Bees, the Clouds, and the Trees, which features some nice collaborations and was released by Last Gang Records on April 28th, 2023. Harrison returns to this show for a good discussion about his pandemic life in Toronto and playing video games a lot. Things Harrison knows that I don't know, and one thing I know that Harrison didn't know. Making music professionally, but beyond making records. Accepting one's voice. The birds and the bees. The great outdoors. Some of the people who helped bring his new album to life. Future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol with additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, and very friendly employees who will happily help you find what it is you're looking for if you're there in person, or if you go to their website, blackbird.ca, you can enter what you're looking for. You say you want the new Harrison album. You just enter what you're looking for in the search terms, and then you hit probably the enter button, and then your options come up, and they'll tell you if you can pick it up at the store or if they can ship it to your house or something. It's just that simple. For more information, visit blackbird.ca. Plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 771 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Harrison, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hey, Harrison, how's it going?
It's going, Vish. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you very much. Where in the world are you today?
Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Ah, yes. Yes. That's a nice, I can see, because of the technology, I can see into your world there. It seems nice. You got a plant?
I got a plant. Yeah. It's dying.
Oh, no. Why? What did you do? Did you kill the plant?
It's either the plant or it's me, bro.
Oh, come on. Are you okay? You seem a little... Are you all right? Everything good?
Am I okay? I'm all right, man. I just had a little bit of a week.
I see. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
I'm sorry to hear that. I don't know. A lot of us are going through some tough times, I would say, in this time period. I have not talked to you since the beginning of the world starting to slowly end. How have you been doing in this time, the last few years?
Honestly, the last few years have been really good. They have been. I felt coming into my own as a person, as an adult in my now late 20s, my piano practice and making music and shit. It's been honestly great. Everything's been wicked till maybe the last month or so, but my progress as a person isn't linear. I don't think anyone's is, right?
No. It dips and dives. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, no, that's good to hear. As you know, I'm a big fan of your playing. When you say I think you were getting at that your piano playing and your abilities are elevating. What do you attribute that to? Just being able to spend more time doing it because there's less other stuff to do? Or was there something else that inspired that?
There's so much to learn when it comes to piano. And when I started practicing, I had the privilege of being at home. And I could just, again, I brought this up before, and I think a lot of people agree, but the idea of talent or whatever, it's just the privilege of time, right?
Absolutely.
If you want, you can be talented at anything, but can you be talented and pay rent at the same time?
Yeah.
So it's really just a privilege of time. And I had that in the beginning of my practice, at least. So yeah, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use this time, bro.
100%. I feel like a lot of people did use this time. Or a lot of people, rather, I shouldn't say that. Those who were privileged to be able to use that time, use this time, I should say. I just want you to know I've heard this a lot. People are taking this time to refine skills, learn new ones. Have you, beyond your piano, first of all, this is, I think, the third time you've been on the show. Maybe I can't remember exactly.
I think it is the third, including Long Winter.
Oh, look, you're counting. That's nice.
No,
no, that's lovely. I, as you know, I'm a big fan of yours. So, where was I going with this? I know you're a talented piano player, even from the first time you were on the show, however long ago that was. Did you pick up any other skills? I'll tell you, for me, guitar, playing more guitar nice. During the pandemic. What else? Cooking more, eating out less. Those things, I can feel them getting a bit better for me in my mid-40s. Did you pick up anything else? I just want to mention my age so everyone recognizes that I'm old. Particularly compared to you. I just want to say I'm old, but you're young. Did you pick up anything else?
I picked up getting really good at video games.
That is so funny, because I was thinking about the first time you and I did a chat. I went to your house. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It was your parents' house.
My parents' house, yeah.
Yeah. Which you're not, I don't think you're there anymore, but based on this background.
No.
Yeah. No. So you're at your parents' house, and you say something about, and forgive me, I'm going to get some of these names wrong. Dragon Ball Z, is that the thing that the kids like, or did like at one point?
Dragon Ball Z was a show. They did have a game.
Oh, it was a show. I thought it was a video game. Okay. It was a show.
They have a video game too. Budokai 3 was the one I played when I was younger.
Wait a minute, which one came first?
Was it the show came first.
They made a video game out of the show?
Yeah, it was an extremely popular show in Japan and North America.
It's like an anime?
Yeah, it was like an anime. It was probably the first one I saw.
This is embarrassing. I'm re-embarrassing myself. It's like we're in Back to the Future. I'm like, hey, Harrison, let's get in the DeLorean back to that time you roasted me for not knowing Dragon Ball Z 7 years ago. Well, that'll be a fun thing for everyone. I'm sorry. But anyway, you mentioned that, and then you were shocked that I didn't know what it was. And then I felt old. I was like, oh, no, I don't get a cultural reference that a young person's telling me. I'm out of it. And then I slept for a week in a fetal position. I'm like, oh, no. It's happening. I'm aging out. Anyway, yeah. It's funny because I can't think of which song it is on this brilliant new record of yours. But my son, we've been listening to it in the house and in the minivan. And my son will frequently make commentary and say something like, oh, this song reminds me of the video game. I'm going to get this wrong. Turnip Boy Evades Tax Evasion. Do you know what that is?
What? No, I never heard of it.
Who's old now? It was a trap. I trapped you, my friend. No. My son loves these video games. So there's one called Turnip Boy. I'm not making this up. It sounds made up. What he... my son, I feel
Turnip
like
Turnip Boy Evades Tax Evasion?
Turnip Boy evades tax evasion. It has
commits tax evasion.
Oh, did you Google it? You Googled
it. Yeah,
I
just had it. It's got a 10 out of 10 on Steam. Okay, well, I got to check this out.
I'm giving you a rec right now. You got to check out this game. I've not played this game, but my son kept saying throughout the record as it played, oh, this reminds me of kind of video game music. And I'd say, oh, Harrison, I think, likes video games. Do you think video game soundtracks are an influence on you as a musician?
As a musician, yes, but not on this record specifically.
No, not on
this. As a musician, absolutely.
What is it? Why? I mean, I get it. I have friends who make a living now. They used to be sort of indie rock musicians. I'll just say my friend's name, Jim Guthrie. Jim Guthrie, I grew up with Jim in a way. We grew up together in Guelph. He's a bit older than me, but we grew up together. You know, when I mean, grew up together, sorry. When I got there for university, I met Jim. We were adults, 19, 20, something like that. And he was like an indie rock guy, Juno Award nominee, all that stuff. And then he kind of entered into soundtrack work, and video game soundtracks came his way. And people go nuts. He can't keep records in stock. He'll say, hey, I got a 1,000 records or 2,000 copies. Gone. And well, meanwhile, there's no shade. Jim knows this. Then his indie rock records do fine. But the
nothing like those OSTs.
No, it's amazing. And so there's a whole thing with, have you ever worked in video game soundtracking?
I did. Yeah, I did a few. And the last game I worked on was very hard though, because it was specifically a music game. It's called Beat Blast. And it was like this like dungeon crawler roguelike game. That you collect squares, and every square you basically had like a sequencer at the bottom left of the screen, and each sequencer would make different sounds and have different powers, I guess.
Yeah.
And bro, it was the music game was the hardest. It was so confusing because everything had to be in a specific key, follow a specific progression.
Huh.
All those basic progression, and like it was just very tough. But I had a great time.
But so wait a minute. More than scoring the game, you were creating music for the people to interact with. Is that a way of saying it?
Yeah, yeah. Huh. It's called Deep. It's really, that was very hard. But yeah.
How do you even? So here's the thing too. And I don't want to spend too much time on video games because I don't abide by them as a dad. Because my son will just be up there and then they'll emerge all of a sudden after. Yeah, this is going to sound like bad parenting. I do have I can, with a telephone app, I can limit how much time they're on the internet. So,
let's go, man.
Well, I try
the
to
future's
do.
Crazy.
I know. And I try to do that. And then, but like a cuckoo clock, the door will open and he'll be like, Papa, I need more time. I'm in the middle of a game. And I'll be like, I'm sorry. I don't know. There's all these, like, they always want me to, like, you know, whatever. But my point is, when I was a kid, video games were pure escapism. It wasn't, you were interacting. You weren't really interacting. There were parameters, but a lot of the games now, and you might know this, where I'm wrestling with it is they seem to really inspire creativity. You're building things and you're creating things. You're not just playing hockey or whatever. And I mean, we do play NBA. He got me into, my son is like, can you come play video games? I'm like, no, I can't. Why not? I'm like, well, I get obsessed. I'm competitive. And if I start playing a video game, I will not leave. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, your papa is weak. Weak. Weak-minded. Can't handle it. And they're like, oh, I see. Anyway, my point is, do you enjoy the escapism? Do you play, rather, the escapism games where you're just kind of Sorry, is that the proper distinction, like passive versus active video game playing?
I fully agree with you, okay. Man. I play they're not creative games at all. I play like something called like League of Legends, something called Apex Legends, and something called Overwatch. Yeah. And all these games are just fully to make sure I don't have to think for that period of time on anything except for those games.
Yeah.
And I just got internet like 2 days ago since I've been back here.
Oh.
And the first thing I did, I was like, I'm going to play a game of League of Legends. And I lost. I had it the worst time.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I had the worst time. I was like, this sucks. But that's what it is. It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, like, because when I'm playing games, it's usually, you know, have you heard of Discord?
Of course I know. Okay. Listen. I know I said I was old and out of touch, but I know what Discord is. Come on. You know, it's also.
I know a lot of people.
Well, Discord. Actually, know Discord. You know what's funny? A friend of mine, a lawyer my age, I don't know why I said he's a lawyer. I'll just tell you his job. I don't know why. It's not germane. But he was like, what's Discord? I'm like, oh, it's an app that people use to interact with each other. My son and other people use it. And it's like a. Sorry, am I characterizing this correctly? It's a chat.
No, you're right.
It's
you're
like
right.
A chat app.
Absolutely.
Which my son, by the way, for years was like, get Discord. I don't want to read your texts. I'm like, what? Why not? Like, everyone's always like, get WhatsApp, get Discord. Did you see my Messenger thing? Did you see my LinkedIn message? I'm like, Jesus, why can't we just use the same? Now, okay, I'm old. I can't handle all these things. Anyway, why did you bring up Discord? That's a big thing with the gaming, right?
Because Discord, like, these people, like, my friend, like, through COVID and everything, bro, we just go on Discord and play games and talk to each other.
Yes.
Because there's servers, right? You enter the room and it would be like we're all just chatting.
Yeah.
And we'll stream our own games. We'll watch movies and shit together.
Yes.
And like we just go in there to like hang out, literally. You know what I mean? A lot of my friends are in like either tech or 9 to 5 or like my close circle are not like musicians and artists and stuff. It's people, you know, my homies.
This is what I was trying to get to earlier. When I was a kid, if you played a video game by yourself, an argument could be made by your parents or any other observers that you were being a little antisocial. Get outside. Go play with your friends. Yeah. So we move here from Ontario. We moved to Edmonton, and then this pandemic happens almost immediately. A couple months in, the pandemic happens. Mm-hmm. And my son has already started to get into video games, and now they use them to do what you're describing. Interact with friends in Ontario. Interact with friends even in Edmonton. So then I'm like, oh, it's a social thing. Like, that is their way of actually communicating. I don't know if it's at this point as we're speaking, if it's because they're isolated, but it's just an easy way for them to interact. So
you're talking to someone.
Yeah, I'm still wrestling with it because I'm very a big believer in. And I think my wife struggles with this sometimes herself. The notion that our kids should do what we did as kids, and I'm like, no, I think personally, how everything's different, the technology is different. Like this is how people we're doing it right now. We talk using computers like that wasn't a thing. Anyway, I guess where I'm coming from is I wanted to ask you like how much time. In a day, would you say you spend playing video games at your peak? Like if you're playing a lot,
My peak?
Like if you were to be like, holy shit, you look at the clock and you're like, oh my God, how many hours?
When World of Warcraft Classic came out, it was either right before the pandemic. I think it was right before the pandemic. We were ripping that shit like 12 hours a day, bro.
That,
me and my homies. But that was like, we committed to this bit. Like, my friend Evan took the week off work and shit.
Oh my God.
We're like, I've never played this game, but they were all so excited about it. I'm like, okay, let me commit to the bit with my homies, bro. And we fucking ripped that shit.
12 hours.
To level 60.
Wow.
12 hours a day, probably.
And what about now, though? What era are you talking? How old were you when you were doing that 12 hour a day?
This was 2017 or 2018.
Oh, not that long ago, really.
So not that long ago. Okay. 24?
Okay, 24, 12 hours a day. That seems like a lot.
No, 23.
You're 23. And now, though? Like, do you have a thing now where you're like, oh, I've been playing video games?
Maybe like a couple hours.
Because
I'll do it like after, in the evening, right? When I think my friends are on Discord at like the same time every day, pretty much. Like after dinner, evening.
That's what my son says, but I can't help but feel like, aren't maybe they're always on. Maybe they're just always on there. And like, how can it be like,
no,
they're not. Okay. All right.
They're not.
Do you think there's something about, in there about like just binge culture? You know how that was I guess it's still a thing with like TV shows. All the streaming services would just be like, here's every season, every episode. And people would be like, oh, so I just spent 36 hours. Like they would, I was amazed. People would tweet, oh, I spent 36 hours watching Lost. I'm like, why would you admit that to anyone out loud ever in your life? That seems embarrassing. But you're also 12 hours a day in front of a screen. Do you think there's something up with that? What does that mean that we're just sitting there consuming things?
It's escapism, bro.
That's it.
At the end of the day, it's escapism. Mm-hmm. People can barely afford to live in the city. Inflation, yada, yada. Yeah. I shouldn't yada, yada. This is a serious situation.
Yeah, it's depressing.
But they're like, fuck, I'm depressed as fuck. I'm going to watch Lost for 36 hours. I'm like, I applaud you. I hope that you, for a moment of, just a moment, you got your peace.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
If it was just that 36 hours.
By the way,
that's just in my opinion.
I hope I don't sound judgy. I guess I could not have sounded more judgy.
I understand. No, I get it. Are you kidding? But remember, it doesn't matter if you sound judgy. I don't think it was a strong opinion. I think it's a very valid opinion.
Well,
I also understand.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm older, and I think I remember. What my wife and I both remember is the time before this technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people of my vintage are kind of wrestling. Like when we were, sorry, I've talked about this on the show a bunch. Do you know people's phone numbers off the top of your head?
I know a few.
A few.
You know, actually, I know a few. I don't want to segue, but something random that came up was the cable numbers.
Oh, like the remote? Like the channels?
Yeah, because I'm 27. Yeah, there were channels. I could, like, off the top, I was like 45, Teletoon, 25, YTV, 51, Family, 28, Fox, 29, Much, like, for some reason, they're just ingrained in my head. And I remember I put my friends' numbers in my mom's phone book. And I remember like those few phone numbers.
I ask because I've talked about this before. I remember a time where I didn't write down anything. To your point,
really?
My friends would marvel at my ability to remember channel numbers. If they'd come over, they're like, how do you know? I just look at the, I don't know. I just know. Actually, at that point, there wasn't like the TV guide computer on your screen.
Yeah.
You had to know.
I thought that shit was fancy when I was a kid. Yeah, you had to know.
I'm just saying you had to know things and phone numbers. The reference I've made on the show is like when I was a kid, I knew 30 phone numbers off the top of my head. And now I had a landline installed here for my children because they don't have cell phones. And if something goes awry, I thought, oh, well, they need to call somebody. I don't know our number. Yeah. I don't know any numbers. I say, telephone, call Harrison. And it goes, okay. Okay, here you go. And I have no idea. I couldn't tell you your number. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a weird. All I'm getting at is the way we consume things and the way our brains work. We're binging and then we're also not remembering anything. Like I feel like you watch 36 hours of play a video game. I just wonder if you'll retain it the way. Sorry, there's no way to not sound old, and I'm not even longing for the old times.
Don't apologize, bro.
I just wonder what is happening to our brains. That's all. Like as
we're done.
You think
we're cooked, Beesh? Yeah, we're cooked.
We're not gonna.
We're absolutely finished.
You think we're are we dumber? Are we dumber than we used to be? Like
I think we're somehow dumber and smarter at the same time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like you know things
which you don't think is possible.
Yeah, like the whole notion of like, hey, who was in that movie? Like when I was a kid, you'd be like, I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? It's not going to be in anything. It's not. You can't just look up the name of the actor. And now you know everything within 2 seconds. So we're smarter, or no? We're more informed, but we're not smarter. Is that maybe a way to do it?
That I think you're right. We're more informed, but we're less smart.
Anyway, I don't know why this was a lot of tangents to talk about your music, and I'm sorry, but I think it's sort of germane.
That's okay.
Well, I think it's sort of germane because we've hit a kind of nadir of joy. There's no joy in what we're talking about. We're having a good laugh, but it's not fun, the stuff we're talking about. Yet your record is remarkably cheery and upbeat on the surface anyway, superficially. Does it feel that way to you, like a purposefully cheery expression?
Did you say theory expression?
No, cheery. I didn't mean theory. Is it a theoretical cheeriness? Is that where you want to go with this?
It's purposefully cheerful, man, because I was cheerful making it for many of the songs, at least. And that's just like, I can't escape this. It doesn't, I'll try and make a sad song. I can't escape it, bro. Like, yeah. It always just turns out bright and like whimsical.
But that's, yeah. That says something about you. Are you saying that you write cheery music to, I don't know, I'm putting words in your mouth. Is writing cheery, I'll ask you the question. How about that? How about I be an actual journalist interviewer guy and ask you a real question? Let's try that for a change, Vish. Are you someone who writes cheery music to as a kind of a coping therapeutic thing?
I honestly wish I have not looked inward enough to like actually answer that question honestly. Because I thought I knew the answer to that when I was younger, but I don't anymore. It's just like what comes out and what gets makes me excited. And that just always ends up being like almost the same progressions my whole life. And, you know, I try, but it's what comes out. Even if I'm in a bad mood, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you ever sit down and start writing like a minor key dirge and then abandon it? Or do you try to see it through to see where it's going?
I do. So I do write some of that stuff for like sync, my like sync library thing I do. Huh. Just like, you know, music, they need sync work. But it, I write it very fast. So I don't have time to like take in. I don't know if I'm articulating this properly. But yeah, like write it like as fast as possible, listen back, and then be like, okay, this sounds like maybe it could be in like a noir film.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? So I like, see. But like it, the music that I write for myself that I plan on like, I'm like, this is a piece of work that I'm proud of. I'm proud of all my music, but like something I'm like putting my full energy into as an artist or a musician. Hmm. Yeah. It always turns out bright.
Yeah.
Childlike wonder. Yeah.
A Harrison joint is full of some measure of sophisticated innocence, joy and innocence on some level. How about that? You want a blurb for your record cover? You want a sticker? I just came up with one. Come on. What's better than that?
That's good. I like that.
No, but that, you know, as you're writing something, whether it's, so say you're sitting down to do an assignment, like you describe a sync or something like that, or someone's offered whatever, you know what I'm saying? And you start to go at it. Do you ever stop and say, whoa, no, I'm hanging on to that shit. That's better. That's for me. I think that's not.
I have done that. Yeah. I literally have done that.
You have done that?
Yeah. Like sometimes I'll start with, I'll make like copies. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to take that. I literally did that like a couple of days ago.
So what does that mean to you when you, I'm sorry, I go through this a lot myself because I have a day job and I have lots of responsibilities, but I know the ones that make me happy, like the ones that make me, like this kind of stuff makes me very happy, but I can't totally make a living off of it. So I do other things that they're fulfilling, but they're not as like, this is exciting. Like this is fun to talk to you. You know what I mean? And talk to people. So I think a lot of us in our kind of cultural milieu kind of do this. We have our side hustle, the way I'd put it is our main hustle is meant to pay bills, but our side hustle is what keeps us happy. Is that where you're kind of coming from?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, sorry, I don't mean to diminish your music making as Harrison.
No, absolutely not. It's not diminishing at all, bro. But you got to make that money. Sync is where the money is.
Right, exactly. So the reality is you're taking what you're good at and turning it into a job. But how can I put this? I think I've already articulated it. The reality for most musicians is, this is why, sorry, also growing up, sorry to keep taking you back to the 80s and 90s, but why not?
That's okay. I like it, dude. I like a little nostalgia.
Can you imagine a time, Harrison, where if an artist had a music in a commercial for a car or a computer company, there would be outrage. Just absolute. Their fans would be like, oh my God, you sold out. And now
fucking
I can't.
Fucking posers.
Yeah, I can't turn on. Because I watch sports, as I think you do. I watch a lot
I don't.
You don't?
No.
You don't watch any sports? I thought you liked the. You don't like any? Okay, I thought you liked sports. You did none? Not nothing? Not really. I thought you did. I don't know why. Okay, anyway, so I watch sports, and there's lots of commercials, and like I can't watch. Sorry. The other things my friends used to marvel at, and my kids are mystified by, is my ability to avoid commercials. There's a commercial coming. I know exactly when they're going to start and when they're going to end. I always come back when the game is back. And they're like, how do you know that it's over? I'm like,
That internal clock.
It's inherent. It's just like my media literacy is so high. My point is like it's inescapable to hear. There's a thing. She knows this. There's an artist I really love named Juliana Riolino. She's been on this show. Beautiful voice. She's ascending. She went down to South by South. She's from Ontario. She went down to South by Southwest. Rolling Stone articles. Everyone's starting to catch on. Juliana and I have been a fan of hers for some time, but everyone's starting to catch on. Anyway, there's like a Subaru ad now. Should I say the car company? I'm plugging it. And I didn't recognize the song, but I recognized the voice. It's hers.
Yeah.
So they hired her to just sing this excerpt of some. But, you know, whatever song, and she brings it to life. So I text her. I'm like, hey, did you do an ad? She's like, yeah. And she's like, yeah.
You good got, for her.
You know, it is good. What I'm saying, though, is.
Probably got like 30 grand.
Exactly. Like, no.
She probably got like a fucking teacher's salary.
Probably.
I applaud any musician who does this.
Yes.
Because it's like, if you get one good job, you can actually go and focus on your own damn shit. You know what I mean? For like a whole. Sometimes, like. Some people land those Big Apple ads, bro. They're cooking.
Yeah, no.
They're like, I can like sustain my fucking music for. Excuse me, all of the swearing.
No, I can't stop it either. It's my kids are out of the house. So I let it rip. No, my point is, sorry. Do you? But so I think we're on the same. Well, I don't know if I'm on the same page. I'm making the observation. I still think it's weird when an artist I love lends a song. There's a Beatles song in an Airbnb commercial now. I couldn't believe that because they used to be very. Adamant about
easiest $30 million I've probably ever made.
Yeah, it's a ring.
It was probably like the craziest sync license.
Well,
ever,
it's Yellow Submarine too, so Ringo probably is like, I'd like to, we should do that. You know, like, I think that's probably what happened because John and George certainly would have been like, no. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean
no.
Bad Liverpudlian accents, but my point was, saying, I think I know the answer to this. There's no credibility issues now with an artist. The reason I asked this is because you drew the distinction. You start writing potentially for an assignment, but if it's for you, you keep it, which means that says to me that you view that as having a certain, it has a different value because some people would be like, oh, this is really good. The person I'm working for is really going to like it. But I think you're saying you're admitting you might be like, that's a little too good for.
No,
I'm going
to. I think it's more like, wait, I think this progression's interesting. And maybe, like, in some cases, it's like a lot of sync work is they want very simple, accessible, commercialized songs,
yes.
Right? So if like maybe it's like a little too techy or something like that, I'm like, I'll take that. And it. They're not going to like that. My assumption is that they're not going to like it. I'm like, I can take that and like maybe make it into something a little more interesting.
I see. Okay.
For myself.
Yeah. So those of us.
There we go. I elaborated.
No,
that
you
well.
Did. That was good. You did really well. I'm
good
sorry.
Save.
I'm sorry if I'm dominating the conversation. I'm just a little hyped up on coffee and oranges.
No, I got mine right here.
You got
bro.
Yours right. Okay. So would we, those of us who have television or go on the internet and are exposed to commercials from time to time, is it feasible we might have heard some of your compositions in that realm, or?
I think so.
Okay.
A few YouTube ads, a few little toys.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Okay.
I'm hoping, but I'd like to be dominating that field.
Has there ever been a really prominent one? I don't expect you to specify, but has there ever been one where you're like, holy shit, that is so pervasive, it's everywhere, and I just wrote that in 5 minutes or something like that? Is there one like that?
I don't think so.
Do you remember the song that was in the cap? I keep mentioning all these corporations. I'm going to stop. There was a credit card by name, I mean. There was a credit card company that had a jingle called Hands in My Pocket. Do you remember that?
Hands, yeah, of course, dude.
Jim Guthrie.
That shit, I still whistle that shit all the time.
So somewhere down the street from wherever you live in Toronto is my friend Jim Guthrie, who people who listen to the show regularly know I always thank Jim at the end because he lends me music that I can play for the show for some elements. Mm-hmm. And that was his breakthrough. He
good for him. That's incredible.
Pop songwriter in the early 2000s takes on this random assignment, experimenting with the ads and stuff, writes that. It could have been on one of his records. Absolutely. No doubt. It was a gym. And it blew up so much that people started to use his name in meetings. Hey, can you make it a Jim Guthrie?
That's fucking sick.
Isn't that
good
weird?
For Jim Guthrie, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to get like him. I'm trying to get like Jim. Like him. Jim is him.
Jim is him. Do you ever vocalize? Really?
No, I can't, dude.
Listen to your voice. Why couldn't you?
I can hit like three notes. I'm tone deaf.
Have you tried to sing along to one?
Tried before. It's embarrassing. It's so cringe.
I love your voice. Yeah, feel like you have the greatest voice ever. I think you. I don't know. I think your voice is your voice, right? How many like bad? I'm putting it in air quotes. Like bad distinctive singers are there? Like. I don't even think they're bad. Like, do you know who Lou Reed is from the Velvet Underground?
Yeah, of course.
Lou Reed, famously thought to have had a kind of, monotone or whatever voice. That's his voice. No one's going to sound like him. What I'm getting at, and I didn't mean to make this a pep talk. Our voices are...
I think
I
need to find my range.
Listen to me. I've been talking in public for what year is it? 2023. Like 18 years on the radio and podcast. I sound like a Muppet. There's no doubt. I could be a Jim Henson character, and no one seems no one
you
says
have
it.
A lovely voice.
No,
you don't sound
no,
like a
no,
Muppet.
I sound exactly.
I'd keep it a bean with you, bro. You sound great.
I appreciate the mutual affection for our voices. I'm just saying our voices are our voices. You can't change that. Anyway, sorry. It's none of my business. I'm not here to produce you. I'm just saying. I feel like if anyone could sing a nice song, it's you. All right, let's get.
Maybe I'll try again, bro.
I think you should.
Maybe I'll try again.
I think you should. So this record, "Birds, Bees, the Clouds, and the Trees." Man, you talk about whimsical. That even the title is whimsical.
Yeah, right?
Let's start with that because that is a. It alludes to sex.
What?
You know, the birds and the bees. That's what the euphemism. That's the thing for sex. I'm not saying it's.
Is it?
Yes, the birds and the bees.
I didn't mean that.
You never heard the expression "the birds and the bees"?
No.
Come on, man. That's what they say is like a euphemism for talking about sex. There's that song. Let me tell you
this
about the birds and the bees
thing,
and the flowers and the trees and the something.
I know Afternoon Delight. That's it.
Oh, there's that one too. Anyway, you got that. Sorry. All right. I've taken this down a sordid road. I didn't mean that. You didn't even know? Okay. I thought this is like the Dragon Ball Z thing, except for real life. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so let's get with that title though, because it's very elemental in a way. It's like natural. Mm-hmm. Birds and the bees, the clouds and the trees. Where did that come from, first of all?
So funny, I've been asked this question like a few times and I can't give a good answer. The answer is like really, honestly, I just thought it was a pretty sounding name. I like nature and I like taking a moment sometimes when I'm in nature. You know, I'd walk my dog just across the street. You know, it's just moments of peace in the park. Complete peace. You know, sometimes I want to cry, depending if I was on an SSRI at the time or not. And... yeah, man. That's all it is. It's just like our moments of euphoria, our moments of captured peace, I guess.
And yeah.
But a lot of the albums, like, I've been calling it Diet Jazz all week as well. And it's meant to just be like maybe walking music or something like that. Or
yeah.
So it's something to experience outside. But maybe I'm extra. I don't know.
No?
The name.
So you're saying... at least one or two, let's say three other people have asked you about this album title and not one of them has alluded to the fact that the birds and the bees?
No.
Not one?
You're the first, yeah.
What? Maybe I'm just obsessed. No, I'm not. I just think that it was obvious to me. Anyway, that's okay. So it was really, do you get into nature as much as you possibly can? Are you a person, do you like camping? Do you like hiking?
I hate camping. Can't stand.
I don't like.
Cannot stand camping.
I don't like camping either. I don't really understand. That's why we build the houses.
I like a good walk.
You like?
Yeah, right?
we built the houses because no one liked camping. I think everyone was like, this camping thing sucks. Why don't we build stuff out of wood and stone and then we won't have to camp? We can still go outside.
That's insane,
yeah,
dude.
Why would we do?
I'm actively going to take my own pillow from my own bed and go to a fucking dirt slab.
Yeah, well, instead of hitting
I pay rent.
What if instead of hitting a stone and making fire, we just wire some fuel into the house and then turn a knob? It'll take 2 seconds as opposed to like, I hit my finger all the time. Anyway, so I don't like camping either. But so you go outside.
I like glamping.
Wait, now explain that to people. What is that?
Okay, when I say glamping, I mean, I remember my homie Elliot, his dad was like taking care of like some place in Prince Edward County. It's like beautiful home cottage thing. You know, it had all the fixings. It was like a modern place in nature.
Yes.
I like this.
Yes.
I like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was a multimillionaire, that's what I'd be
doing. They're like glamour tents, basically, or houses.
No, not even that. That's not enough.
There's like, they're
a
cottage.
I need a crib.
They're a cottage. Okay, yeah. Glamping. Yeah, that's.
But no, but like cottage, modern cottage, no wood cottage.
They have those. When I used to go, we used to rent a cottage on Lake Huron, rather. And yeah, you would see like the new build houses, like on the lake. So you got the
some tile.
You'd have the one we rented was very old and it was wood, and it was a little makeshift in its own way. But everyone else, we were just renting it from a friend of my wife's, right? And then, but a lot of people, it's not everyone else, but a lot of people. Sorry, some people like that, the rustic nature leaving like an actual log cabin and going out onto the lake and all that stuff. Sorry, do you like the beach? Because I'm also 50-50 on the beach.
I don't like the beach. It's just the people on the beach, man. Like the beaches, me and my friend Trevor used to walk down the beaches all the time. And as soon as it's like above 12, it's over.
12 done. People.
The beach is cooked.
Yeah.
Just completely cooked. But in the off time, you know, fall, early spring, you can get down there. It's the most beautiful experience ever.
Glamping, if I may follow up on your glamping, the cottage we rented had its own beach. So
dude, that's some 1%er shit.
Yeah, I guess it is. It wasn't that expensive or anything, or that nice a place. Like it was it was shelter, but it wasn't. Let me just. We were not rich in Ontario. In fact, we were middle class, whatever the hell that means these days. And so it wasn't like super luxurious, but it did have its own beach. I'll say that. And
that's fucking dope.
You're absolutely correct, though. I think you and I are the same. I don't really like camping because of the elements and the people and I'm tall and I don't know. There's something about it. I just don't like it. And then I get tired. I get grumpy. There's something about camping that makes me grumpy. And then the beach is kind of similar. I don't know. Now I'm starting to wonder if I just don't like dirt. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you just don't like, maybe you're the same. You just don't like any dirt and bugs.
I don't like dirt, bro.
Yeah, seagulls?
I don't like bugs. I went to my friend Hudson's cottage recently. Big ass. We slept in like this little, it was like, it's cottagey.
Yeah.
I actually had a great time though. I was with friends. I think that was the first time I really enjoyed it. Like, but you know, I wake up to a bug this fucking big in my dome. And, spiders crawling all over me at night, but I just didn't care. And maybe it was the company I kept. My closest friends growing up. I don't know.
That would wig me out. I don't want a big spider in my face. I don't like that. But anyway, you've tried you tried to capture the essence of the outside on some level. Beautiful artwork, too, by the way. It's lovely.
Thank you so much.
Where did that... did you have a hand in sort of the design there, or was it someone just said, hey, this is what I came up with?
That was Kento. It was actually I was obsessed with this artist from Japan, Kento.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is... It was a licensed photo. It wasn't made for the album. And I was like, I need it. I need it.
If you look at it, so it's what I was getting at is it's beautiful. Beautiful artwork, beautiful bright colors, outdoor scenery, and you've got, I don't see any, well, yeah, there are some birds. Maybe they're birds. Maybe they're specks. You got some. Anyway, it's not that literal. However, I'd like to draw everyone's attention to the fact that there seems to have been an earthquake. And a car falling into an abyss. That's in the foreground. You have this very beautiful scenery in the background, but in the foreground, disaster. Death, potentially. Sorry, potentially. If anyone, this car is not a self-driving car. There's probably people in that car, and they're doomed. What does that mean to you, Harrison? If we can do a quick fine arts class sort of analysis of what this might mean. Oh, it's, sorry, I just want to also, oh, it's beautifully designed, the typography, if you will, or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, but what, eek. Yeah, let me just say that about the image. Eugh. It's what? it's a little dark on some level because of the car plunging into an unknown. Do you think the car survives that? Do you think the car the people make it?
No, nah, they're donezo, bro. Okay. It's probably one dude in there.
One.
Kento has a common theme with this Nissan Skyline. Hmm. And I don't know. I didn't think it was if I was looking at it really literally, he's just driving towards a beautiful destination, gets fucked up on his way there. And you're so close. So close.
Is there some sort of metaphor there that you can relate to in terms of any of the themes on this record?
Not themes on the record. I can relate to that recently, though. So, I don't know. It's I'm sorry, Vish. I wish I had better...
No.
I just want to articulate the best I can.
Well, these are not easy questions coming from me. We have not had any other kind of preamble. It's difficult. I'm asking you. I mean, also, when did you finish making this record and finalizing the artwork and stuff, roughly?
Artwork was recently, recent, last 4 months. Record was done 6 months ago.
Can you imagine someone asking me? If someone asked me about something I did 6 months ago, I would have no idea. I'd be like, what? Oh, I heard for me.
I'm so excited for it to come out. Dude.
Yes. That's the weird part of the anticipation, right? Okay. Let's talk about some of your other collaborators, though, because I think I know you as a keyboardist, someone who plays piano, as we've established, and makes other kinds of sounds. But there's a fully fleshed out, you've got collaborators. Who are the other instrumentalists on this, by the way? Are there any, or is it all some sort of, I don't know.
It's all me.
What about the drums?
The drums are me too.
Physical, real drums? Programmed drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know who plays the drums is me. And I like drums.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoy the drums.
Do you like my drums?
I do. And I was like, oh, I can't. That's the thing now, though. I can't. See, as a seasoned music person, I couldn't have told you. If someone was like, are these real or programmed? I'm like, hey, they sound. I'm telling you right now. I'll tell you right now to your face on the screen. They sounded real to me. And I mean, what does that even mean these days?
That's all I want, man. That's the biggest compliment I can have.
Have you ever played actual drums, if you will?
I have. Well, my dad can play drums. My dad was a drummer for a while.
Oh.
And yeah, he's dope. But I'm not coordinated enough to play drums.
Ever thought to collaborate with your father?
Absolutely. I think about it all the time. He's so stubborn, though. He's hard to work with. Jesus Christ. He's giving me flashbacks about the work on the Supra.
Oh, your dad would work on a Toyota Supra? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, me and him did some work on one.
Oh, are you mechanically inclined? Can you fix a car?
I think I can somewhat fix a car.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I know you used to drive a BMW convertible, which I can't picture.
The E30? I never dropped the top. Don't worry, bro.
Oh, you had the top. You had a convertible.
I never
took advantage of it. I mentioned this because it's the inspiration for at least one of these songs, right?
Yeah. In the Coupe.
In the Coupe is that's a reflective, nostalgic kind of song, I'm guessing?
Yeah. It was just like, I've explained it as like kind of a song that just like don't take everything I do. Don't take the album so seriously. It's supposed to be just like a fun song. It's like, it's not serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun. A funky little jam, bro.
Yeah. Over the last couple of years, I've seen your name show up on other people's records. DJ SB. I want to say Cadence Weapon. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you've been working with others. What's it like to actually reach out and ask people to contribute to your records? In this one in particular, I'm hoping we can actually talk about some of the people you brought in. But I also just wonder when do you figure that out? This is an instrumental. It's fine. This could use some vocals. This could be a hook. Is there a way to articulate your distinction between those two modes?
Yeah, no. I think when I'm actively writing songs for other people, I'm very conscious of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there has to be a certain amount of space for either singers or rappers or whoever to come and write on that instrumental.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I like have to be actively conscious about that. And like producers who just produce for others, it is like, it's a different art in my opinion, and they're just incredible. Hmm. Like my friend Bijan, who's in LA now, he's just got down to a science.
Yeah.
He's like, there should be this amount of space here, 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 here. And he's incredible at what he does.
Hmm.
But me, I kind of suck at it.
No, it's the opposite. I think you're great. And I think the people you brought in just give this record a flavor. Every once in a while, there's a voice and they're strong and good, like solid voice. And it gives the, it's only like this record, by the way, is like only like half an hour. You like short things, I'm gathering.
I love short things.
Short dude. Songs and a short record. That's short for a record, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it moves. My son the other day, it stopped. He's like, Papa, it's over. Play it again. And I was like, oh, well, you got a nice review already, Harrison. My son wanted
Let's
to
go.
Normally, my son's like, okay, can we hear Beastie Boys now? That thing you listen, the thing you're making us listen to is done. Can we hear something else? I'm like, what? Come on. Anyway, this one, my son and my daughter enjoy very much. What was I going to get to there? Can we take a moment? And I don't mean to do a memory jog. Can you talk about some of your collaborators on this record? First of all, just by name, and maybe even mention what they kind of did, because you have some people whose names I recognize. You have some people who are, I would say, rising stars, if you will. Do you want to talk about some of those?
Yeah, of course. Well, we got Toby, of course, my G, my man. Toby's an incredible writer. He's so good at writing hooks. And I was like, can you please be on my record? After we worked together on a song called Beige and a few others. And then we had Mad and Guilty Simpson, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe they're into the record. And I was like, okay. They both just work really fast, and that was remote. Joe Jenkins hooked that up. What a legend. And Nana B, of course. Incredible singer and songwriter and producer from L.A. Joe also showed me her music. I'd heard her on some Vine Design stuff. I've heard her on stuff before, and I was like, oh, she's dope.
Hmm.
And Kadia Bonet, who brought the flavor, I guess.
Beautiful.
The flow.
Beautiful singer. And familial royalty in there, right? I see that Bonet, and I'm like, wait a minute. She must be related to Lisa Bonet. But no, lovely. These are lovely additions to you, to your music. So I just want to say I appreciate your vision there, and I appreciate that people want to work with you because you are wonderful. And I also want to say, as I have before, I always appreciate your social media, Twitter and whatnot. You're funny on there.
You think so?
I think
I'm funny.
I think you are. I think things are sort of, I thought we were almost out of all of it because it seemed to be imploding, and I think it's still imploding. I don't know. But no, I appreciate your little lobs because it brightens up my day, if I may.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay off it.
Yeah. No, it's not. I don't think it's actually good for us, but those of you, I'm not good at it. I think that's the other part of it. I just gave up trying to be whatever, and you're good at it. So I just want to say I hope it gives you some measure of joy to know that it's resonating with some idiot like me.
That's awesome. You're not an idiot.
No, I know.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. So I want to ask you, as we sort of wind down here, what's next for you? This record's coming out. I'm very excited on your behalf for people to hear it. And I'll ask you about where people can find it in a moment. But have you been writing stuff of late that you're excited about or working on something new at this point?
I was sent a bunch of tracks from someone that my grandfather had recorded.
Oh.
Solo piano stuff. And I'd like to cover these tracks for him because he passed recently.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And that's okay, bro. Yeah. He lived a life, bro. He's dope.
Nice.
96.
Wow.
And last time I saw him, he was all there. So that's a big W.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, I'd like to, I got these, I think a lot of it's really beautiful stuff. So I need to look into maybe like a grant or something to just, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
A little solo piano stuff. And just keep making music, man. But in the meantime, I mean, I gotta work the like TikTok and shit.
Oh yeah, there's that stuff too. I forgot about that. Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. I gotta follow you on that, I guess.
To promote.
I thought they were gonna ban that. And then it's not banned at all. I'm like, they should maybe ban it all. Just ban all of it. See what I bet we'll all do better. But no. I can't escape it. I'm addicted to it. Like I said to my son, I get a little compulsive. I'm like, oh, I better check Twitter or whatever. And then it's like, oh, they're getting rid of it. That's bad. But wait, maybe it's good. Maybe it'll be better for everyone. Anyway, all right. So you got manage the promotion of this new record. If people want to learn more about it and you on the internet that we were just deriding together, where would you like to send them, per se, to learn more about Harrison and this record?
I wish I knew. Well, maybe my Instagram?
Yeah, sure. Sure, you can say that.
Harrison.music is my Instagram. Okay. Just go there, bro. I swear, I put up some good stuff.
Okay, of the things we've talked about, we've promoted every big social media company today. You feel like your Instagram game is the most strong.
I think my TikTok game is the most strong. Because I like post like shit that's like cringe and shit on there. I just have too many friends that follow me on Instagram now. So like, it's weird. I need a Finsta, bro. I don't know why I don't have one.
Okay.
It's just like the close friends thing.
I see. Okay.
And I don't know. Like, I don't care how I'm perceived, really.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work, man.
I know.
Every time I post some shit, it'll be like, I'm sending 4,000 Bitcoin to the first person who responds. You know, like the spam and
shit.
Oh,
you get the spam? I will say that the thing I don't understand is when I post a story and I look at, eventually people can like your stories on Instagram. It's always the porn bots.
Yeah.
And they have horrible names. And then on the one hand, I'm like, this is disgusting. On the other hand, I'm like, oh, these porn bots are really sweet. They like all my posts. How can I be mad at them? As I'm reporting it as spam and blocking it, I have a tinge of like, oh, maybe I should actually say thank you to the porn bot. You see?
Yeah,
anyway, I'm sorry. This is a nice segue back into the birds and bees thing I was talking about earlier. If we can go out, sorry, that was a terrible segue. Can we go out on a song here from Birds, Bees, the Clouds, and the Trees, Harrison? And if so, can you choose one for us to go out on?
Oh, let's do Like When We Were Kids. I like that one.
Like When We Were Kids. Why did that one come to mind?
I don't know. I'm just missing being a kid today.
Okay.
Bro.
Well,
I'm missing being a kid.
I think
today.
I wrapped us up in a lot of nostalgia for my youth, so maybe that's what happened to you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's okay.
Well, let's hear it right now. This is Like When We Were Kids by Harrison from this beautiful new album, which I encourage you all to check out. It's called Birds, Bees, the Clouds, and the Trees. Harrison, for what it's worth, I know we don't know each other very well, but I love you very much. I'm glad you made this record. I appreciate you. Thank you for this time, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Man, thank you. I love you too, Beesh. And thanks for always supporting me since for years. And thank you for having me. Thank you.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Oh, it's wonderful to speak with Harrison again, one of my favorite people in Canada and around the world. Thank you, Harrison, for being on this, the 771st episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook and follow the show at present on Twitter at vishcreative, or you can follow me directly on Instagram and on Twitter at vishkana. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to support all of the work that goes into making this podcast. You can donate any amount you want, $4 a month, $2 a month, $15 a month, $16 a month. It's really up to you. $6 American or more a month grants you access to exclusive content, and you get episodes earlier than everybody else. And if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, just message me on Patreon and I'll get you one while supplies last. I owe someone a message on that. Sorry, I'll get that. I'll respond. I'll do it right now. I'll do it after this. Thanks again to the wonderful Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about and order things right there from their website, blackbird.ca. And also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks, as always, to my friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use some music of his on the show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you so much for listening to this episode with Harrison. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you're unfamiliar with Harrison, we'll check out his music. If you are here just for Harrison and have never heard of me and you enjoyed the show, please think about subscribing or following, you know, the podcast, subscribing to the podcast, following it, telling your friends about the show, spreading the word about it. All of that helps a lot. So I appreciate you doing any of those things, but also you did nothing. You made it this far. You listened to one episode. That's pretty good. Thank you. And congratulations for making it all the way to here. I will talk to most of you very soon. I hope. That's my hope. I hope you're well, and we talk soon. Like I said, okay, I'm babbling now. Bye for now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.